one of the biggest free trade agreement as far as India is concerned, that is the ASEAN group, Asian Economic Group. ASEAN consists of Brunei, Darussalam, Cambodia, Indonesia, Laos, PDR, Malaysia, Myanmar, Philippines, Singapore, Thailand, and Vietnam. This is a very important body and a very strong body of Asian countries. And they have developed very good relationship given the economic, political, and strategic significance in the larger Asia-Pacific region. Strong ties with ASEAN is necessary to expand India's market access and to build greater connectivity between India's northeastern states. While ASEAN has committed to tariff reduction to over 4,000 products and tariff liberalization of over 90%, in spite of that, India currently is suffering from a trade deficit with these regions. Of course, the negotiations are going on to bring it on par so that we don't suffer a trade deficit. We also have trade facilitation, and here joint recognition arrangements, conformity assessment, accreditation procedures, and standards and technical regulations. There is a facilitation between us on non-tariff measures, customs cooperation, trade financing, and business visa and travel facilitation. Then we also have trade and investment promotion, where regular fairs and exhibitions, ASEAN-India web link, business sector dialogues. Continuously we are having this. We also have IFTA sector of cooperations, that is ASEAN-India Free Trade Agreement, agreed mutual cooperation trade, which includes these sectors: agriculture, fisheries and forestry, services, that is media and entertainment, health, financial, tourism, construction, business process, outsourcing, environmental, etc., etc., mining and energy, oil and natural gas, power generation and supply, science and technology, information, communications technology, electronic commerce, biotechnology, etc., transport and infrastructure, that is transport and communication, manufacturing, automotive, drugs, pharmaceuticals, textile, petrochemicals, a wide range. Human resource development there, especially capacity building in education, in technology transfer, and others like handicrafts, small and medium enterprises, competition policy, Mekong-based development. Mekong base is the basin, ocean basin, connecting all the ASEAN countries, development of the entire region, intellectual property rights, and government procurements. These are all active areas, sectors of cooperation. Mercosur is another large area where we are having a preferential trade agreement. It is a sub-regional trading community in Latin America and comprises of Argentina, Brazil, Paraguay, and Uruguay and its members. Chile, Bolivia, Peru, Colombia, Ecuador, Guyana, and Suriname are all its associate members. By this agreement, we have brought down duties on 452 items, including meat, meat products, chemicals, rawhide skins, leather articles, wool, cotton yarn, glass and glassware, iron and steel, machinery and equipment, optical, photographic and cinematographic apparatus. At the same time, we have also secured preferential access for organic chemicals, pharmaceuticals, essential oils, plastics and articles, rubber and rubber products, tools and implements, machinery items, as well as electricity, electrical machinery and equipments. South Asian Association for Regional Cooperation, SAARC. This is another important group which we have formed amongst ourselves. This is mainly our neighboring countries, as you can see, Afghanistan, Bangladesh, Bhutan, India, Maldives, Nepal, Pakistan, and Sri Lanka. We have free trade agreement there. We have eliminated trade blockages, facilitated cross-border movement of goods, promoted fair competition, created mechanisms to achieve joint administration, and most important, resolution of disputes, among other things. Instruments that have been built up under SAFTA are trade liberalization program, rules of origin, institutional arrangements, consultations and dispute settlement procedures, safeguard measures, yes, they are there. Any other instrument that we may agree upon between all of us. Bay of Bengal has got a BIMSTEC FTA. I wouldn't say that this has picked up much, but there is an agreement going on. Technical and Economic Cooperation Forum. It includes Bangladesh, India, Myanmar, Sri Lanka, Thailand, Bhutan, and Nepal. We are pushing very fast on this FTA, but we are in disagreement with Thailand on many matters, many issues, and we have demanded to negotiate fresh items which other countries, they don't want to do. They want to maintain status quo, and therefore this is not moving forward. SAARC is moving far better. GSP. I think since last nearly a year or so, you must have been reading in the newspapers that America has abolished the GSP system with India and certain other countries. We have GSTP and GSP. Both are virtually connected as preferential trade agreement. Aim, as usual, is trade between developing countries in the framework of United Nations Conference on Trade and Development, UNCTAD. It is a framework for the exchange of trade preferences among developing countries in order to promote intra-developing country trade. Agreement was envisaged as a dynamic instrument of economic cooperation, proceeding with step-by-step negotiations in successive stages on the principle of mutual advantages. Principles of this agreement: it primarily recognizes the special needs of the least developed countries. That is the primary issue. And therefore, concrete steps are being provided so that a stable basis for tariff preferences and bound and formed part of the agreement. GSTP must be negotiated step by step and improved and extended in subsequent successive stages with periodic reviews. It must also reinforce the present and future sub-regional, regional and inter-regional economic groupings of the developing countries and must take into account their concerns and commitments, which is not being done. UNCTAD services the committee of participants and provided technical and administrative assistance in setting up the GSTP. This was extended as a preferential tariff system by developed countries to developing countries. In the first stage, this was the real reasoning. Objective was to give development support to poor countries by promoting exports from them into the developed country. Developed countries included US, UK, EU, Japan, etc. And they gave GSP to imports from developing countries as also least developing countries. It involves reduced or zero tariffs of eligible products exported by beneficiary countries to the markets of GSP providing countries. It promotes sustainable development in beneficiary countries by helping them to increase and diversify their trade, especially with the United States. What are the benefits? Economic growth and development in the developing world by helping beneficiary countries to increase and diversify their trade with the developed nations. Employment, moving GSP imports from the docks to consumers, farmers, and manufacturers supports tens of thousands of jobs in the developed nation. Company competitiveness is boosted by GSP as it reduces cost of imported inputs used by companies to manufacture imported goods and also goods for export by developed nations. It also provides global values by supporting beneficiary countries in affording worker rights to their people, enforcing intellectual property rights, and supporting the rule of law. As I told you in the beginning, US has withdrawn GSP benefits provided to India and a few other developing countries. We are still negotiating with the US not to go ahead with this. Mainly 94 products from all GSP beneficiary developing countries have been withdrawn, are being phased out. And mainly the products are agricultural and handicraft products. This will have a very big impact on India as we enjoyed preferential tariff on our exports. Indian, Brazilian main exports to America face normal US tariffs now, and hence at the moment we are unaffected from the exit of the GSP program. Our perspective we have placed before the international community. Indian exporters benefit directly by way of reduced tariff or duty-free entry of eligible Indian products. Reduction or removal of import duty on an Indian product makes it more competitive. This preference helps new exporters to penetrate a market and established exporters to increase their market share and to improve upon their profit margin. It also allows India to integrate with the global value chain and hence with the global market. Cheaper imports of intermediate goods from India enable availability of cost-effective and price-competitive imports to the US downstream industries as raw material components. It also helps the US firms to remain domestically and internationally competitive. That is what we have highlighted our perspective before the US, asking them not to remove the GSP preferences. The products on which India receives GSP benefits belong to labor-intensive sector such as textile, handloom, and agriculture, This is where during the past few years you find our textile garment exports have been reduced to a very great extent. India can lose out US market share to rivals like Vietnam and Bangladesh, which continue to have duty-free access. And our exports to US under this program are mostly intermediaries and are non-indirect competition with US producers, which ultimately benefit US economy. This is what we are trying to tell them time and again. Therefore, they should consider continuing Indian eligibility as a gesture of goodwill between our two countries. It still remains a central aspect of the trade engagement and must remain so for Indian exporters keen to address the US markets. India has got the present trade agreements. We have bilateral and regional trade agreements built up over the years. GSP and GSTP, SAARC Preferential Trade Agreement, Bangkok Agreement, India-Sri Lanka Free Trade Agreement. These agreements, besides offering preferential tariff rates on trade goods among member countries, also provide for wider economic cooperation in the field of trade, in services, investments and intellectual property. And our Indian Ministry of Commerce has projected that 60% of India's future trade would be accounted for by these free trade agreements. That is the importance of these agreements. Looking to the complexities of the respective trade agreements, our Indian government has brought out rules of origin, that is country of origin of the goods, in terms of CAROTAR 2020. It is short form for Customs Administration of Rules of Origin under Trade Agreements Rules of 2020. This is a new set of rules brought out to clarify the applicability of the concessional rate of duty under various trade agreements. It is a list of minimum information which the importer is required, importer in India, is required to possess while importing the goods, applicable in importing. It requires an importer to conduct a basic level of the diligence before importing the goods, so that you get the benefit of concessional rate of duty and satisfy himself that the goods actually meets the prescribed originating criteria. The subjective condition under CAROTAR will always be the originating criteria. This will support the importer to correctly ascertain the country of origin properly and then claim the concessional rate of duty. Otherwise, if he claims it wrongly or if it is wrongly declared, then importer will be liable to pay penalty, etc., etc.
Now, my dear friends, these slides I am not going to read out in detail. I am only giving you an example of a trade agreement. This is free trade agreement between the Republic of India and the Democratic Socialist Republic of Sri Lanka. You look at the factors going ahead, articles, list of products for India, list of products for Sri Lanka. What are the points on which we have agreed to reduce tariffs, and what would be the punishments where they would be made applicable if either of us do not follow the articles made out over here. You have got If you want to do business with Sri Lanka and you want to know the exact benefit coming to you as an importer or exporter from this type of bilateral trade, please go through this trade agreement very thoroughly before you start doing business, so that you are able to get the maximum benefit out of this particular agreement or other similar trade agreements.
When we look at all the trade agreements, ultimately it is a benefit to the importers. And gaining benefit to the importers, exporters also gain by more quantum of exports. So what are the practical, actual benefits to the import-export business as a whole? These FTAs, free trade agreements, are complicated documents. As I showed you an example before, they are very complicated document. You need to know a number of points very clearly. Number one, is your product or service included in the FTA's remit? You should know thoroughly. Okay, if so, what are the dutiable advantages available? And what are the implementing rules and documentary requirements for claiming the lower rates of duty? And then again, are there any tax advantages that may apply to your business operations? You've got to understand that very thoroughly. And most important is, how can I implement and claim these vis-a-vis the CAROTAR 2020? You've got to understand these factors in order to get the proper and complete benefit as importer and exporter.
Thank you.